Our topic today is matzah and the din of lishma. We are in the middle of Simen Tuf Nun Gimel here in Or HaChaim. We're up to Sif Dalid. So to appreciate this din, the din of lishma in the context of matzah, we're going to take a step back. And although this is meant generally to be a chabur, which is halacha lemaisa, we cannot miss the opportunity to talk about a little bit of the lumdus of this sugya, because it is super geschmack and it helps us appreciate the practicality. So we're going to focus at the beginning on just the basic lumdus of this topic. We'll talk a little bit about the lishma and then a little bit more about the din of matzah that's made by hand versus machine matzah. Machine spelled Mem Aleph Shin Yud Nun.
That's the
minute. That is the minute to spell machine Mem Aleph Shin Yud Nun. So we know there is a pasuk that tells us Be'erev Tochlu Matzos. There is another pasuk that says that matzos are eaten for 7 days. Matzos Yeyachel Eish Shivas Hayamim. Many places the Torah instructs us to eat matzos on Pesach and Chag HaMatzos. And everybody apparently knew. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai and he told them, what is matzah? Matzah is an unleavened bread product. Everybody knew what that was. The Rambam would probably say that's Pirushim HaMekubalim. Everybody knew what matzah was. So if you had only that, you would know that you are instructed to eat that non-leavened bread product on the night of Chamish Asa Minisan, and for the remaining 7 days, you would know that, and you would know Lo Sochal Olav Chametz Shivas Yamim. You would know Tochal Olav Matzos Lachmoni. You would know that you can't eat chametz. So that's all you need to know. We have a specific mitzvah on the first night of Be'erev Tochal Matzos. That's a proactive, unique, distinct mitzvah. And then the rest of the week, you can't eat chametz. You're only allowed to eat matzah. You would not have needed anything more to know what to do on Pesach. And yet, the Torah, in Parshas Bo, in Parshas Beis, and Shmos, tells us, Ushmartem es ha-matzos. You have to guard the matzos. You have to guard the matzos. So this phrase, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, that you guard matzos, this seems to be superfluous. It seems to be giving us something that we already knew. The only way to prevent something from becoming chametz is to carefully supervise it so that it bakes in time before the mixture of flour and water becomes chametz. So why do I need a pasuk of Ushmartem es ha-matzos? It is obvious that I need to be sure that it doesn't become chametz. So we can think about this in different frames. One way to think about this is that the Torah is doubling down on our concern, our wariness that a product, a bread product, may become chametz despite our best intentions. And therefore, it's not sufficient to just tell us lo se'aseh chametz or lo se'afeh chametz, like it says in the context of Menachos, or lo so'chal olav chametz. We have to add an additional instruction that tells us ushmartem es ha-matzos, be sure, take extra care. It's almost like lava olav b'shnei lavim. It's an extra emphasis which is being added to make sure you don't run afoul of the prohibition of chametz. A different way of understanding this is that it's not so much a zehirus, a concern of chametz, but rather ushmartem es ha-matzos means that when it comes to matzah, we have to have a specific, unique focus. There is an added dimension, perhaps, a mitzvah or a lishma, an added focus that goes into the eating, the baking, the preparing, the process of the making the matzahs. So option A is that it is an amped up concern for chametz, and option B is it adds a level of shmira, which in this context will mean an added level of intent, a unique intent. Another way of looking at this is that the first mahalach is more of a zihirus, of a concern, and the second is more of a mitzvah. Another way of looking at this, and you could really look at this in both directions, is that perhaps the Torah is giving you an additional kiyum. Alternatively, the Torah might be giving you a condition. Is this shmira added above and beyond? Or is this shmira becoming part and parcel, definitional to the kiyum of matzah? So these are different ways of thinking about this basic question. So the first approach, which is articulated probably most clearly in the Mechilta, tells us, what does it mean, Shmartim es ha-matzos? Shmareu ad shelo tovo, ad shelo tevieu lidei psul. Exactly what you would think. Make sure, guard the matzos so that it shouldn't become chametz. Amen. There is the opinion of Rav Hoshea, who says, Ushmartem es hamatzos means Ushmartem es hamitzvos. It is unclear to me. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that this Rav Hoshea belongs to the second approach. I'm not sure that Rav Hoshea belongs to the second approach as much as Rav Hoshea agrees to the first approach. He just thinks that you use this pasuk not to teach you that there's a lishma. He just says, we already know there's a zehiras of chimos, so he teaches you something else. So I'm not sure what you can learn from Rav Hoshea, but from the first day in the Mechilta, clearly the instruction of Ushmartem es hamatzos is a high level of shmira to be concerned about chametz. We saw in the bottom, in the Gemara here on Daf Mem, in the Sugya, we saw that there were two girsos of how we should be shomer this product, and our girsa was to be shomer it l'shem matzah. The shmira should be l'shem matzah, meaning you should make sure that it doesn't become chametz. In the Yerushalmi, in Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet, Yerushalmi says, you know what you learn from Yishmartim es hamatzos? Yishmartim es hamatzos teaches you that you can't make matzah like a bagel or like a boiled product, if it's revucha, because it's not boli dechimos. Revucha means boiled. So why can't you make a boiled product like a donut? Why can't you make matzah a non-leavened donut product? The answer is because that doesn't become chimutz, doesn't become chametz. So if you understand that the pasuk is all about a zehirus of an isur chametz, it makes sense why that's connected to revucha. The lashon of Tosfos here, it's not exclusive, but Tosfos says the ikar shimur is from chametz. The ikar kiyum of shmira is from chametz. So you see already from Tosfos, that's not the only thing, but that is the ikar. Furthermore, the Ramban, when he discusses this sugya and he explains the din of lasisa, Ramban in the Chidushim, he says, you know the connection, Tosfos was bothered, and everybody, we're all disturbed, why it is that when the Gemara pinned down Rava, and said, you know, you have to explain why there's a mitzvah of lasisa, and the Gemara said it's because there's obviously a din of shmira from before Elisha, which we're assuming is Mishas Ktzira, so it must be there's a mitzvah lilsos. So Tosfos was unhappy with that, and why is it that the shmira Mishas Ktzira is associated with the mitzvah of lasisa? So the Ramban there says, what it means is that because there's such a thing as Ushmartim as hamatzos, there is a mitzvah to be zohir from chametz. Memela, there's a tosefes mitzvah to put yourself in a situation that you need to lean in to the shmira from chametz. So you see that according to the Ramban, clearly the emphasis here is on the zehirus from chametz. It's noteworthy that the Rambam, when the Rambam quotes the pasuk of Ushmartim es hamatzos in Parakei, in that context, the Rambam is discussing Ushmartim es hamatzos, being careful that it should not become chametz, and then the Rambam quotes that it's midivrei sofrim, they made certain harchakos. But the point is that the Rambam, in Parakei at least, is understanding that the din of Ushmartim es hamatzos is a din in zehirus from chametz. The lashon of the Rambam, in Parakei, Halacha Ches, is the Chazal were careful about this dogon that was nispashel, Ve'enu elo midivrei sofer mishum shenemar ushmartem es hamatzos. Klomar, hizaru b'matzah v'shimru osa mikol tzav chimutz. Ushmartem es hamatzos, that's a din in Zihirus from Chametz. However, it is not so clear that this is the only way to present this, as we alluded to before. Clearly, the chashash chimutz is the ikar. The extra concerns that we have are derabbanans. Now, there are different ways to understand that. Is a derabbanan that's a kiyum of a doraisa? Is it a derabbanan because it's atu a doraisa? Is this only an asmachta? But the Rama understands this pasuk exactly like that. That that's the concern. However, this is not the only way to see this din, because there are others who have the Girsa and the Gemara that we are hafichu at the bottom. Our Girsa, like the Rabbi Nochananel's Girsa, was hafichu l'shum. Our Girsa is hafichu l'shum matzah, but on the side of the Gemara, in the little Dalid, it says ksad yad in the Tosas is l'shum matzah, and that's it earlier. But our Gemara also has the Girsa hafichu l'shum mitzvah. That somehow the Shmira is for the purpose of a mitzvah. And if you look in Rashi in Chulin, Rashi emphasizes the fact that the Shmira is necessary for Lishma, to create Lashem Matzah's mitzvah for your matzah. And so you get the impression that this is not a Chovas Shmira of matzah that shouldn't become chametz. It's some kind of infusion of proactive mitzvahs lishma, of kavana, of some kind of lishma, of a chalos for matzah's mitzvah. These two different approaches may actually reflect a machlokas in the Amoran. Because the Gemara tells us, on Daf Lamed Ches, I'm assuming you saw it, the Gemara tells us that the reason why chalos toda and rekikei nazir are not acceptable for Pesach, for Matzah's mitzvah, is what? What's the reason you can't use, what's that? One option is Mishmar Kemes HaMatzos, Matzah Mishamers L'Shem Matzah, Yotzezu She'en Mishamers L'Shem Matzah, El L'Shem Zevach, that's Rabbah. Says Rav Yosef, not true. Omar Kra Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochelu. Matzah nechelas l'shivas yamim, yatzuzu she'ino. So says the Netziv in his commentary on the Sifri, he says, no, I'm sorry, it's in the Hamik Sheva, it's on the, in the She'otos, in Ayin Vav at the bottom. Says the Netziv, he says, this machlokas amoraim is precisely the machlokas that we were talking about. The first approach is that there is a kiyum, there is the approach of Rabbah, there is a requirement that the matzah be done lishma, l'shem matzah's mitzvah. Rav Yosef disagrees. Rav Yosef says, as long as you make sure that there's no chimutz happening here, that's fine. It's just that there's a special din that the matzah has to be able to be eaten theoretically for 7 days, and since this is kachim, it's not going to be eaten for more than 2 days. So the Netziv says that the shaila that we asked is actually a machlokas in the Amoraim. And it's also, l'chura, a machlokas in the Gaonim. Because, as we saw, Rav Haigon assumed that matzah, which was made, manufactured, and baked by a nachri, is kosher. But the she'iltos in Ein Vav, he said that a Nachri, or Cheresot V'katan, who lashu ha'isa, that they kneaded the dough, it's psula even though a Jew baked it. So why should it be pasul? The assumption is that the machlokas between the She'iltos and Rav Haigon is about this issue. That according to Rav Haigon, as long as you have the chimutz concern covered, and this is how the Rishonim try to deal with the Brisa here of B'tzeko shal akum. So, to what extent do you trust the akum? Did you do something to make sure that there was no possibility that it's going to become chimutz, either you watched it or whatever, but according to Rav Haigon, it's kosher because you've obviated the concern of chimutz, as opposed to the she'otos who thinks that you need some kind of infusion of lishma, which cannot be provided, which we'll talk a little bit more about shortly, cannot be provided by the Nachri L'chir Shulta V'Katan. The sharpest lashon of this is the Ritva quoting from the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah's lashon is, Ein tzarech asiya l'shem matzah, rak shimur l'shem matzah. That is the chakira that we're saying. The first approach that we presented today is that you need shimur l'shem matzah. You have to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. The second approach is that you need asiya l'shem matzah.
Who said that you can make that? Who was she
to make matzah? Rav Haigon. So now, this brings us to understanding or taking a crack at the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam is confusing because the Rambam never tells you that there is a chiyuv of Shmira on the matzah. The Rambam in Parakei Halacha Ches tells us what we said before, that when it comes to Dagon that was Nisbashel v'lo Nisbaka, it's considered Chametz Gamashal Torah ve'eno Ela. It's ain't a chametz al Torah ella midivrei sofrim. We are concerned that it should be considered chametz because of ushmartim es hamatzos. And there in halacha test, the Rambam says lefichach, which is always a crucial line for the Rambam. Amru chachamim tzarach adam lizor bedagon sheochem emeno pesach shelo yava olav mayim acher sheniktzar ad shelo yebo shum chimutz. And then he talks about dagon shenit babinar. So the Magen Mishnah is upset about this, and he's wondering, wait a second. Why is the Rambam telling us lefichach you have to be careful about chimutz from Dagon on Pesach? I thought it had to do with the night of the Seder. The Rambam doesn't mention anything about the night of the Seder, and the Rambam is telling us that this sounds like it's only Din Rabbanan. Yet in Perek Vav, the Rambam later tells us that there is a din of lishma in Perek Vav Halacha Hey. The Rambam tells us that Isas HaKlovim Bizman Sharon Ochlem Mena Yotze B'Yidei Chovaso. Ein Aron Ochlem Mena Ein Yotze B'Yidei Chovaso. Why not? This is Vav Hey. Why can't you Yotze with Isas HaKlovim? You would tell me why? Because it's not?
Shema.
No, that's not what you would have said.
I'm going to say because it's not Lechem.
That's right, it's not Lechem. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says, why? She'ein Zu Mishumeres L'Shem Matzah. And similarly, the Rambam gives us the din of Rikikin also. And the Rambam says, there too, you can't be Yotze with Rikike Nazir, Chalas Toda Rikike Nazir, that's in Halacha Tes, Vav Tes, She'osos Le'atzmo Ein Yotzemem Shenemar U'shmartem Es HaMatzos, Mashtza Mishameres L'inyan Matzah Bilvad, Hishi Yotzen Vav. So what's going on here? So perhaps the answer is, for the Rambam, there are two dinim. There are two dinim. There's din number one that we presented, that is matzah, which is a concern of shimur. That is a concern of shmira, of that it shouldn't become chametz. And then there is a second concern, and that is the requirement that it be proactively done, created, manufactured, l'shem matzas mitzvah. This helps explain the Rambam in the end, way end of Perek Ches, where the Rambam says in Halacha Yigimel, mi she'ein lo matzah mishumeres, so obviously the Rambam thinks you need matzah mishumeres, ela kazayis, kishagomer sudas mi matzah she'ina mishumeres mevarch ala chilas matzah va'ochel also kazayis ve'ino tohem achrov klu. What do you mean? The Rambam never told me there's a din of matzah mishumeres on Lil Pesach. He only told me there's a matzah, there's a shmartem es matzahs the whole week. The answer is, for the Rambam, there are two dinim. There is the matzah, which is shmira of Perek Ches, that it shouldn't become chametz. And then there is the matzah of Perek Yud, that is l'shem mitzvah. This also can explain what is the nature of this din? Is this din a deoraisa or a drabanan? The answer is, for the Rambam, it's both. Right? If you look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav thinks this whole din, all the dinim of Shmira, are only midrabanan. But if you look at the Pri Chodesh thinks this ma'akav v'dieved, as we'll talk about, that sounds like it's an issur d'oraisa. Perhaps, ken zayin, that the Rambam thinks that it's both. That the din of Shmira, of a zehirus of matzah, that it shouldn't become chametz, that's an asmachta. That's me divrei sofrim. Because we already know, of course. That's not what the pasuk is coming to teach you. That's not a din to oraisa. That's just an asmachta. But the din that it's got to be l'shem matzas mitzvah for leila seder, that could be a din to oraisa. And this, if you look in the Bir Halacha, is what it sounds like in Simen Tav Samach. The beginning of Bir Halacha and Simen Tav Samach, where he discussed this issue, it sounds like this might be the answer. And the nafkamina of this is whether or not you can rely on the chazaka for the chazaka of Gadlus for baking matzahs. So if you have a kid who's 13 years old, do you have to check him when he comes into the matzah bakery for Shtei Cyrus? You know, there are a lot of amazing things that happen in matzah bakeries. I do not believe that they allow children to bake in there. I suspect they also do not check for Shtei Cyrus.
They do, because that's what makes you go to the mikvah.
Oh, okay, good. So then they can check when you go. But the point is that if you hold that this is the two dinim in the Rambam, that you could say that when it comes to preparing matzahs for Kol Zayin Yimei HaPesach, so you can rely on Chazaka to Rabbah, because it's only a din to Rabbah, like the Rambam says, be divrei sofrim. But for the actual matzahs mitzvah of Leil Pesach, then it requires actual matzah. That requires actual kavana lishma, and that you wouldn't rely on Chazaka to Rabbah. Who developed this idea? It's on Yoram Makomos. This is Rab Chaim's Yisod. Rab Chaim has this Yisod in explaining the Rambam's Isas HaKlovim. Why did the Rambam say Isas HaKlovim, that it's because it's a chasaron of Shimur? He says because the requirement of Shimur is a chalos in the Cheftza. Right? He doesn't use the same language that we use. We use a slightly different language. He says that it's a chalos in the Cheftza. And if there is a lack of shimur, so then that is what undoes the chepza, and that becomes permanent. It's almost like, he doesn't use the word dichoy, it's permanently banned from, even if you were to try to reconstitute it, it's, you know, you could try to reconstitute it later as a shem lechem, but it doesn't help, because it needs to have that shmir which invests a chalos of matzah mishumer, it's got a shtempel that is a chalos in the chepza. And he says, that's why it makes sense that the Rambam thinks that you can't have two kavanas of lishma for two different mitzvos. It's got to be one or the other. So Rav Soloveitchik, who is quoted here, Rav Soloveitchik meaning the guy from Boston, is quoted here in the Harei Kedem as explaining a similar yisod. He quotes here, I didn't look this up, he quotes, Rav Soloveitchik apparently quotes from a Ralbag on his Pirush al Torah, that in his Shorashim he says, Shiyu mitzvos bilti mitzdarafos ledavar acher.
Wow.
Who, that what? Who gives the example, ready for this Ralbag? Kemo chalos todo rikiki nazir shenemar be'erev toch lumatzos shetiena matzos beli shem levai.
Did Rav Soloveitchik decide to do all the Ralbag?
I have no idea how the Rav pulled this Ralbag out of his hat, but the Ralbag says, this din is an example. You can't have two chalos in a mitzvah that's being bifurcated, pulled in two different directions. One chalos in one chetza. This, Rav Soloveitchik says, is in contradistinction to his father's approach. His father's approach was a different pshat in the Rambam, that he thought that the kavana of l'shem rikike nazir, or isas klavim, that was a machshava haposelas, and that undermines the mitzvah. The Rav did not agree with his father's
that
analysis.
Like it didn't touch it.
So good. We could talk exactly. We could talk about why it's also not the pashtus of Ushmar to Misamatos. It doesn't sound like that's a machshava haposelas for Yishomer to something else. So he didn't agree with that. So he says his pshat, and then here he quotes Rav Chaim, and I think he doesn't say that his mahalach and Rav Chaim's mahalach is the same, but they are very, very similar in this same nekuda, that for the Rambam there are two dinim. There is the din of, and he doesn't say the drabana d'oraisa chilek either, but just the idea that for the Rambam there is a shmira klolos for all 7 days, and then there is the And that is the shmira, the shimur, that is the passive, making sure that it doesn't become chimutz. And then there is the infusion of lishma for the matzah mitzvah, which is unique to the first night. That's the distinction that they make. And he points out there is a Gemara, a fascinating Gemara in Menachos and Daphne and Gimel, the Gemara Menachos, where in the context of the concept that Menachos are niloshos be the poshrin and they need shmira, so the first havin in the Gemara is, oh, you should need shmira because it's compared to chametz, it's compared to matzah, and matzah needs shmira. So you see there's a chalos shmira on their kikin nazar, which is why it's mutually exclusive from the chalos matzah shmura from Pesach. Because there is such a thing as a chalos shmira for Pesach and one for Menachos. So this, perhaps, is a beautiful way of understanding the Rambam. And Rav Chaim says, one nafkamina from this is whether or not you can reconstitute the matzah. Can you fix it? What if you change your mind and you decide it wants to be achilas adam? The answer is no. Once you have a chalos that it is not mishum l'shem matzah, you are lacking that definition in the chefza, so then you can't reconstitute it later. Another, obviously the other machshava, the other element here is that you can't have an ear of machshavos. If you assume that there's only one din, that this is to make sure that it doesn't become chametz, so why can't you have multiple machshavos? But if you understand that it's about infusing the status of l'shem matzah mitzvah on this chefza, so you can't include other kavanos. That what? That you can't have mixed machshavas?
When it comes to like the din lishma, like
so we have a bunch of places we have lishma. We'll talk about it in a minute. The problem is that comparing the lishmas in different topics in shas is a controversial thing to do because lishma in kachim is not the same, the Gemara says in the beginning of Zvachim, as the lishma in get.
Although ironically, the Gemara there is actively comparing every single example of lishma.
Right.
What's the word I find?
Well, it depends. In Kachim, it's a drasha. In Zevach Shalmim Karbono, Shetei Zvicha L'Shem Shalmim. But anyway, so this is all razzle-dazzle lundus, which is fantastic and awesome. But Lamaisa, at the end of the day, we need both. We are actually Mekayim Bothin. We need the infusion of Lishma, and we also need, that was the second approach, and we need the first approach of Zahiris. The infusion of Lishma primarily comes up in the beginning of Simen Tav Samach. Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says, we do not allow Anach Rechiris Shatav Katan to bake the matzahs entirely by themselves. The Mishnah Berurah there, we'll talk about in a second. The Mishnah Berurah has a lot of details about that. But Be'ikaron, we are choshesh to make sure that you infuse the lishma, you imbue lishma, and here in Tafnud Gimel, we are making sure that you create a shimur that it doesn't become chametz. Maybe one of the most interesting nafkamina or aspects of this is the relationship between these two dinim. We said, right, just to make sure we're clear, right now we have two dinim. Right, we have what we presented as Tufnum Gimel, option A, the first Mahalach, which is Shimur, and option B, which is Simen Tuf Samach, that is infusion, creation of Lishma. What's the relationship between them? So here's the nafkamina of trying to figure out the relationship. When do you need to make sure that the Jew does the pu'ula in the talich of the creation of the matzah? This doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara or the Rishonim. So the Bir Halacha there in the beginning of Taf Samach quotes a Machlokas Nachronim. The Taz, if you look, there's a not such a long Taz. There's a Taz at the beginning of Taf Samach, and he says, you know when you want to make sure that a Jew does the Lishma? B'Shas Lisha.
So the Gemara seems to...
Because the reason why the Taz says... is because this lishma that we are having, I'll tell you, the lishma here, this taz is simin tuf samach. He says, Nir lani is daiti, dafka lishavafia asra yide akum. De'beinon shimer l'shem mitzvah va'akom lo osa el adas atzmo. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes a bunch of Achronim and say, no, no, you need to get an Akum out of the way, even Bishas Ktsira. The guy's in the Yuma, Arizona, right? Why did they have Yisraelim? And this, if you look in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, here in Ilchos Pesach, he quotes a bunch of different Nihukim from different people, that they are machmir to only have Jews doing the, for some people they're machmir to have Jews doing the Ktsira, like these Achronim in the Bir Halacha. Why? Because what those Achronim are saying is the Taz is wrong. The Taz is saying there are two dinim. There's Tufnun Gimel and Tuf Samach. For Tuf Samach, that's a din in Lisha Vafia. Tufnun Gimel, a Zahirus? Zahirus is Mishas Ktsira. The other Achronim are saying, no, these two dinim are linked. And so once you established that the Zahirus Tzad starts Mishas Ktsira, which is L'chatchila what it is, we'll talk about that in a minute. So that should also be true for again, you're going to carry it over. What I'm saying is that the machlokas here is the machlokas in lamdas. To what extent are these two dinim tali habaha? Well, if you thought that was meikar din in shas ktsira, then perhaps you should carry it over there, right? For the Rif and the Rambam, they thought that was meikar din. We'll get to that in a minute. Here's another nafkamina of this chakira. What is your kavana? When we say your kavana is lishma,
l'shem what?
So the Balatanya, the Halakha Balatanya, Zecher Tzadok Levracha Zchus Yagon Aleinu, gives you two options. He says, do you say, I have kavana for the pasuk of Be'erev Toch L'matzos? Or do you say, the kavana is for the pasuk of Matzos Yochel Eishivas
Hayamim? It was not particularly Rishkente, the same.
Right. Maybe you say L'shem Yichud before that. What's the chakira here? L'chora, the suffix is exactly this shaila. If you understand that these two are linked to each other, then it's really one din. And all you need to have is kavana l'shem matzah siyocha l'shiva sayomim. So that's also good for the kiyum, the infusion of matzah for matzah's mitzvah. But if you assume that these are two totally different dinim, and that you need to have kavana to infuse the matzah of Lil Pesach with l'shem mitzvah, so maybe you need. So it's interesting. So I saw in the Piskei Tshuvos, he quotes from Moshe Sternbach. I didn't look it up. I think he quotes from the Moshe Mizmanim. Moshe Sternbach, that's why he says, when you ever go to a matzah bakery, what are they yelling? L'shem matzah mitzvah. As opposed to, what do you usually say when you infuse l'shma? You say l'shem mitzvahs tzitzis. L'shem kedushas tefillin. Why do you make it the reverse? So you yotze l'choladeus. So this is not l'shem mitzvahs matzah. This is l'shem matzahs mitzvah. It's l'shem, so you cover both bases. But what does the Baal Tanya say? Baal Tanya says, me'ikar adin, it's good enough if you had kavana just for matzah siyach l'yishir asayamim. That should be for matzah and Pesach. But l'chora, this is the same question. To what extent do we say that there is a unique kavana that needs to be infused for the matzah that you're eating on Leil Pesach? Another nafkamina of this, one third nafkamina, then we'll move off of this topic, is Rav Avadya has a really interesting, lengthy footnote in the Chazon Ovadia from a Lomdish standpoint that has a big nafkamina lamaisa. What happens if, God forbid, a person has a taruvus of matzos that are mishumaros and matzos that are not mishumaros? So the guy has a pile of 10 matzos that are mishumaros and one that's not mishumar. So he has a back and forth, big machlokas achron. This is a yoredei sugya. And the question is, through bitul berov, can you transform the non-mishumar matzah? So if you understand that matzah, and this is my way of explaining the Chakir. He doesn't exactly explain it this way. He discusses in general, but the assumption that he makes, he is more choshesh at the end. He sounds like he's concerned about this. If you assume that it's tzad number one, that the din of shmira is really, it's an asmachta, it's just to make sure that it's not chametz. Well, you know it's not chametz. You know it's not chametz. So maybe you should say it's bittul. But if you understand that the lishma needs to be infused in the matzah, so can bittul berov infuse lishma? does the Isser Nebach Lios Heter? So he quotes a whole Hevel Shel Achronim who think that that's not true. This is a big suffix in Yerodea. Because if you understand, like the second side, that you need real Kavanah L'Shem Matzas Mitzvah, then perhaps that's not going to be accomplished through Bittul Berov. Bittul Berov can nullify the identity. It could say Isser Nebach Lios Heter, but it can't say that Isser Nebach Lios Lishma through Bittul. So this question of to what extent you're emphasizing the real Lishma is going to be very significant. Okay, what does it take to infuse Lishma? So the Or Zeruah, you saw the Or Zeruah in Chelek Beis here in Hilchos Pesach. You saw this. I don't want you to, you're okay? Because I know you're leaning back, and I don't want, God forbid, you to get hurt when I repeat this Or Zeruah. You're not going to fall off your chair?
I'm okay.
The Or Zeruah says you could say Stama L'Shma like Kachim.
Unbelievable.
You okay?
I knew it was coming.
Okay. What? Amazing! There are countless assumptions that are being made in this Or Zeruah. What's that? That if a person didn't have any thoughts, Stama, he just didn't think anything. So, number one, he's assuming that Stama L'Shma is equivalent between baking matzah and kachim, which already is very interesting because the Gemara told us that an Isha is not Lagerishin Omedes, whereas a carbon is Lagerishin, is Lakrava Omedes. Would you say that Stam Isha is Lamatza Omedes?
If you made holes in it and made a little bit of matzah.
Great. So then he makes a second assumption that the definition of Lishma is predicated on an umdana, on a circumstance, on what the perceived activity looks like, not so much an inborn thing. So that is a huge assumption about Lishma in general. The third assumption that he's making over here is that you can connect the Lishma of Kachim to Lishma and Kol Torah Kula, because, you know, perhaps those are two different Lishmas. That's not to say that he's the first or the last person to do this. There's a very significant comment to the Karen Ora in the beginning of Zvachim where he makes several very similar assumptions, but that's not so pashut. So the idea of Stama L'Shma is really interesting. The fact that according to Reb Chaim within the Shitas HaRambam, you have to infuse a chalos of L'Shma in the Chefza, that's very, very problematic to say Stama L'Shma can create that type of chalos. This might go back to the same chakira that we started with, that if it's more about ensuring that it's not matzah, so maybe you're watching it, so okay, so stomach, you're going to make sure that it's not going to become matzah. But if you're saying that you mamash need a chalos of l'shem matzah mitzvah for Laila Arishon, so stomach l'shma, that's an enormous, enormous chiddush. There is a rush in Hilchas Sefer Torah where the rush does connect some of the dots on l'shma for an afkamina of Amira. Because we know that there were two days in the Rishonim, in Rashi, at Tosas, and Bava Metzia, in the context of Shulchan Siyad, as to whether or not certain thoughts require verbal articulation. So one of those areas of halacha, that is the discussion, is this concept of Lishma. Do you have to say L'shem something, or is it just you think it, and that is sufficient? So it's two days. So the Rosh says, Al Atzad, that when it comes to Shulchan Siyad or Lishma, you require Amira, so too, when you make tzitzis, or you write Sefer Torah, you have to say, L'shem Kedushas Sefer Torah, L'shem Kedushas Haskaros, L'shem Mitzvah Tzitzis, L'shem Kedushas Tefillin, you have to actually verbalize those things. So it makes sense that the Pesachei Tshuva quotes some poskim who say, you have to say, L'shem Matzah Mitzvah. You have to say L'shem Matzah Mitzvah. Why? Because if you are trying to infuse Lishma, and Lishma is an intent which requires verbalization, so then you got to say L'shem Matzah Mitzvah. Me'ikar Adin, are you going to stand on ceremony for a guy who didn't say that? Achronim sound like that's going to be a difficult thing, that you're going to ma'akeh b'dieved that he didn't say it, because to take all these steps. But at the end of the day, we are concerned. The Mishnah Berurah in the beginning of Siman Re, in the beginning of Siman Tav Samach quotes a bunch of Rishonim who are dealing with this issue of Rav Haigon. Because the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Tav Samach ain lashon matzas mitzvah v'lo ofen osa al yedei einu yehudi v'lo al yedei cheres shotav v'katan. And the Rashba, you saw the Tshuvas, the Rashba. Did everybody see the Rashba in Chelek Aleph in Simen Chafav, I think it was? The Rashba writes in the Tshuvas. What? The Rashba says, he says, he thinks when it comes to a Goy, Godel Omen Al Gabav doesn't help. Not all of you Rishonim agree with this, but the Rashba says, often a Rashba, black on white, Godel Omen Al Gabav does not help when it comes to a Nachri. Other Rishonim disagree, but that's the Rashba. And the Rashba then doubles down and says, Godel Omen Al Gabav, the Chevashot V'Katan only works when he thinks that the mice is mochiach mitocho, it's mochiach mitocho, what the intent is supposed to be. So a guy standing there holding onto a shoe in a Besdin room that has straps on it that you never saw a Nike shoe look like that, and there's spitting involved and all kinds of other things that are very bizarre in a mice Besdin, so that's mochiach. But you're standing in a bakery baking matzahs, there's nothing mochiach about that, that it's for any purpose. You know, maybe the guy wants crackers. As someone pointed out recently, there are such things as non-kashal Pesach matzos. There are people, they even live in my house, who eat matzah all year round. It's a davar ma'ayin. I find it interesting because matzah is namadas fasa. It's like spiritual medicine. You don't take medicine all year round. There's a reason that you only take it when you need it. Nechama loves matzah. She loves whole wheat matzah. She eats it all the time. Shabbos, she eats whole wheat matzah all the time. Anyway, first came done, you know?
Same?
No, with, I don't know, with stuff. But she likes matzah. So anyway, baking matzah is not muchach that is for Pesach. There are people who matzah all year round. The Mela, the Rashba says that Chevashot V'Katan, even a Kotel Omen Al Gabav isn't going to work. He says Shota for sure not, and even Chevash and a Katan doesn't work. So the Mishabura quotes other opinions that are more Mako, that Gadol Omen Al Gabav will work, but this is all because there is a chisaron, there's a lack of lishma being infused. So b'di'evit b'shas atrak, Mishnah Berurah says you could be so mech on the mekilim that the Gadol Omen Al Gabav works. But now I understand why when I was a kid, we used to go on Erev Pesach to the Rebbe to bake matzahs. Schus Yogalina Shmoso Aiden Rav Amram Taub, the Rebbe of our shtibel, and they converted the garage into a matzah bakery, and the kids, we weren't allowed to bake matzahs. We weren't allowed in the matzah bakery at all. We were responsible to keep the fire going in the metal garbage can outside for any matzah kfulas, because it's after shal shishas, so you got to make sure that there aren't too many mistakes going around. But that's why kids aren't allowed in the matzah bakery. They don't want kids participating, even if it's gadol omen al gabav, because you need to infuse lishma. So lechatchila shebe lechatchila, you should infuse lishma and you should stay it. If you didn't infuse it, it's okay. So you have the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah said, as stam lishma, you could even carry it over, but we should lechatchila make sure that it's a gadol, and a bit lechatchila should say it out loud.
This idea of something being infused, is that the understanding by Hachem? The fact that you're down to stam lishma means, right?
So this is the big billion-dollar question. Today you can't say a million-dollar question because lots of people are millionaires. Inflation. When we were growing up, it was the million-dollar question. Apparently, in my parents' generation, it was the $64,000 question. Then when we were growing up, it was the million-dollar question. Now, Mustamba, it's the trillion-dollar question. Because the role of Lishma in Kachim is very complex. Right? There is obviously a psul of Shalol Lishma. There is a requirement of Lishma. There are two different dinim there. But even within the requirement of Lishma, figuring out exactly what that is depends on who you talk to. If you're hanging out with, you know, the Reb Avraham Yeshua Chevra, who they drink the brisket rav Kool-Aid in the morning. So those guys will tell you that there is an automatic lishma that already exists in every karban. Others will tell you, no, it's not that there is an unbreakable lishma, it's that there, when you have a hakdash of a karban, that infuses the lishma in the karban automatically because you did a kedushas peh in the karban. Others will tell you, no, it's just because when was the last time you walked around with an animal that you made sure that it didn't get any blemishes and you brought it to the mizbeach, like, this is circumstantial. So this is a very, very...
All the possibilities are saying that at the end of the day there is a infusion that comes one way.
Well, here's the thing. In Kachim, we have a din that there is a requirement lishma and there is also a din of stama lishma. Those two dinim exist on the books in the beginning. That's Gemara's Mefaroshes, the beginning of Zvachim. Rabbi Goldstein is nodding. Favorite pastimes. These are good times had by all, but not now, because... If anybody, I mean, what's that? Yeah, let's keep you up a whole night with this. Okay. So now that we've talked about these two dinim of Shmira, the Shmira of Zahirus of Shomer, that it shouldn't become Chometz, and the infusion, and the question of the relationship between the two, the overlapping nature of these, and the kind of the interplay between these two, we alluded to the fact that our Gemara here on Daf Mem is unclear as to when this Shmira should be happening. Specifically, the Shmira, the part of the Chakira number one, the Tzad of Shmira of Tafna Gimel, of making sure that it doesn't become Chametz. So, if you are, you ready for this one, if you are super duper concerned about the Chashash of Chimutz, when should you start your Shimur? Well, the Mishnah Berurah here in Sifkat and Chafez says, you know, the Gemara earlier, Daf Lamed Ches, says that if grain stays in the ground past when it's necessary to generate a growth based on the nourishment of the roots, that is then subject to potentially becoming chametz. So, he says, there are those who are machmir, that even when the grain is mechubar, to have someone be shomerit. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes that that's why there are people who make sure to cut down the shibolim ba'odam lachim, so that they guarantee that no water falls on them once they have already omid liktot kakotzit stami, so to speak. So, Rabbi Goldstein shared with us the research that there are people who are sending mashgichim out to watch stalks of grain.
Shomer kishuim.
They're watching the grain. Why are they doing that? From this Mishnah Berurah. However, Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in one of his shiurim on Yanei Matzah, on Shmiras Matzah, points out that this, he doesn't point out this chumrah, but he points out that none of the Rishonim talked about this. They all talked about the first stage of Shmira being Shmira Mishas Ktsira, which we did point out is interesting because when Rava says Kimahapchu, you know, that's already after the Ktsira, but they're talking about Shmira Mishas Ktsira. Why are they talking about Shmira Mishas Ktsira? Because the book of things suggests that if this is based on the pasuk of Ushmartim Es Hamatzos, there's no such thing as a Chalos Shem Ochel or something that's Mekubal Karka. Ochel is only Betolosh. That's why, let's say, if you have a machshava that this item is going to become ochel, the machshava is only machshavit lekabel tuma once it's tolish. Before it's tolish, there's no machshava could be chal because it's not alpidin ochel. So he suggests that the reason why all the Rishonim are talking about shmira mishas ketzira and not earlier, even though the Gemara earlier on Daf Lamed Gimel says that it can become chametz, because it's not ochel, and therefore you can't say it's ushmartem es hamatzos. It's not matzah, it's not ochel. So you have pre-shmira, that's the super-duper chumer of the Mishnah Berurah. It sounds like either in most countries, in let's say in Eretz Yisrael, they never worried about rain because it never rained in the summertime there. Or they would assume that it would be harvested early enough, but there is such a chumer on the books. Me'ikar adin, what's the first shlav? Shmir mishas ktsira. That's assuming that what? That Rava, when he says Kima Pchisu, that's Me'ikar Adin, he requires Shmir Mishas Ktsira. That's what it sounds like from the Rif and the Rambam. And the Prichorosh says that is Me'ikar Adin. Done. The Prichorosh does not agree with the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch said we should Lechatchila Hachitim Sholzim and Matzah Mitzvah Tov L'Shom Shalubri Almeir Mishas Ktsira. It's good, it's proper to do that. Pri Chodesh says, that's Ma'akev B'dievet. Rav Avadya says, all the Achronim did not agree with the Pri Chodesh. We saw the Noda B'Yudit didn't agree with the Pri Chodesh. Raja quotes many other Achronim, most of whom I never heard of. They all agree the Pri Chodesh is not correct, but there is such a din on the books that the Pri Chodesh thinks that you should be Machmir Me'ikar Din B'dievet to Aser it if it was not Shomer Mishas Ktsira. Shita number two, that's the Ran. The Ran says that this option of Rava of Kima Prisu Kipi, that's only a Chumrah. And that's what some Achronim point out, that even Rava himself, he said it's a good idea, it's L'chatchila, but it's not Me'ikar Adin. What's Me'ikar Adin? Medina, even according to Rava, it's not necessary Me'ikar Adin, it's Shmira Mishas Lisha. Why is it Shmira Mishas Lisha? Why is Lisha the stage? So Rav Lichtenstein had a great Ha'ara, because he says that's the stage which is called Lechem. How do you know this? Hilchos Challah. Ba'acholchem milechem ha'aretz tarimu truma. When does the chiyuv challah kick in? Mishas Gilgal Ha'isa. So you see that the din lechem, it's chal b'shas Gilgal, memela, the din of shmartem es ha-matzos, it applies when you have matzah, when you have lechem.
But that means halfway through the stage.
What do you mean? That's a big machlokas, whether or not it's mishas hatalas hamayim or mishas mixing.
I'm not saying if it's vidin lechem, if this lungs is right, that's smack in the middle of it. That's Gilgal.
That's actually a machlokas, whether or not Lisha takes place b'shas l'sinas amayim, it's machlokas tanoim.
And Hilchos Shabbos, and Hilchos HaFresh Chal is not machlokas. It's Gilgal Ha'isa is a din, not hatalas hamayim. It's
unfair.
We looked at this Mishnah. I can show it to you again. It's
hot.
You're.
Oh. I'm not sure that all the time. I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's not a machlokas in Hilchos Challah.
I'm not sure about that. I don't know. I'm not sure. I would have to check. I don't remember offhand.
I'm gonna take a look.
But anyway, that was the suggestion that Rav Lichtenstein had, that there is no din lechem before Elisha. Memela, you can't say ushmartem es hamatzos when there's no matzah there. And then there is the third shita, which is the shita of the Rosh, who thinks that it is Mishas Tchina. So we were not sure whether or not how to understand this Rosh. One way to understand the Rosh is that the Rosh really thinks that there is some chalos shame Shmira that's happening Mishas Tchina. It's a shlav which is recognized halachically, but it's difficult to understand how and why that should be. What's most likely is what the Rosh is saying is, look, we go back to our basic Hakira. What is the core concern of Shmira? Is it about infusing Lishma, or is it about being concerned about Chametz? If it's concerned about Chametz, especially if you hold like the Rambam that this is more of an Asmachta, it's a Din D'Rabbanan. So he said, hey Mamru, they said, use your Seichel. And if you're in a place where the mill is run through the power of water, and so there's a lot of water splashing around, so that's why it's Shmir Mishas Tchina. It's an upgraded, it's a supercharged Shmir Mishas Lisha. It's just using a Seichaldik. And that's why the Magen Avram in Sifkat and Zion says that when it comes to places where they use a Rechaim Shel Chamor, and they use wind-powered mills, you don't have to worry about Shmir Mishas Tchina. He says, nonetheless, we're ragel to do this, and the Eishal Avram Ibuchach, and it's quoted in the Bible of the Shulchan Aruch, the Ultimate Farshim, he says, we're not mechalik between Rechaim l'Rechaim, but you can understand that this is one of two ways. If you understand like the Magen Avram, it's because the whole idea is an upgraded Shmir Mishas Lisha when you have a Lamaisa concern for water. If you don't have a concern for water, you don't have. So you're just knowing. Or you could say like the Eishal Avram. The Eishal Avram might say, no, ein mechalkin, because really it's a chalos and a tchina. But that's probably not what the Eishal Avram means either. The Eishal Avram is just saying, Rosh Bakir, we don't want to start. People are going to get confused. Because the real issue here is just a Shmir Mishas Chimutz. Shmir Mishimutz, and that's all. And that's the concern.
So the Shultz used the very vague Lashon of Kahana Fomaya, because it's just use your habitus whenever there's...
Yeah, that's probably what it means. Good. What's the din Lamaisa? So, Lamaisa Lachatchila, the Shulchan Aruch says we should have Shmir Mishas Ktzira. Lefachos, like the Rosh Mishas Tchina, Mishas Atchak, it's mutar to take Kemach from the Shuk. So I mentioned this, I was able to find it. Baruch Shem should protect all of us, lo and we should never come to such a thing. But if you look in the Chuvus Mekachi Hashem from the Helig of Weizner, Zecher Tzarek Levracha, he quotes in Simon Samach Dalev, what happens is that they're not just his Chuvus. The Weizner Rav, he was from Weizen, from Hungary. Then he went to Auschwitz. He came to Chicago. But in his tshuvas, he published tshuvas of people he knew from Hungary, Rabbonim, Gaonim, who were killed. And their tshuvas would have been lost. So he had, I don't know how he got access to them, but he had copies of tshuvas of Hungarian Rabbonim to each other. So this tshuva, it's not his tshuva, it's a tshuva from a Rav from Kazimar, somewhere in Hungary, in Nissen, Tufshin, Gimel. So it's March 1943, where the Shaila was, what do they do about getting chita, getting kemach for matzah baking? In Hungary in 1943, they couldn't get Shmir Mishas Ktzira. So he says, he goes through all regalachas, that of course, lechatchila, you should get kemach, which is Shmir Mishas Ktzira, but lamaisa, We can't do it today. So we follow the Ikra Din because it's a Shasat Chak. It's a fascinating tshuva. In the footnotes in Rav Avadya, he quotes that there was 1 year in Egypt. You know, Rav Avadya lived in Egypt for a while. He quotes there was 1 year in Egypt that there was a shortage of flour. They couldn't get flour. So he says, okay, it's a Shasat Chak. So you get from the local mills. So the wrinkle is, what about the concern for lasisa, for washing? Do you have to be worried that the mills are washing their grain first? So the answer to that is, it depends on the metzias. So if you look at the Taz says, yeah, you could buy kebab from the shuk, you don't have to worry that maybe somebody washed it. And Achronim go bananas, they go crazy on this Taz. So I saw someone in Achronim, one of the Achronim, I forget who it says, he says, yeah, you have to understand. The Taz did not mean that if you live in a place where the millers wash the wheat, you don't have to worry about it. He says, the Taz was talking in a place where the way they wash the meat, the wash the wheat, never was worried. You never had to worry that it's going to make the day famous. But the Taz never thought that you could really buy wheat from a place that you didn't have to worry. But either way, maybe it's the Mishnah Berurah. I forget. Somebody I saw it. Either way, but if you're in a Metzias where you have to worry that maybe they wash the wheat and become Kachimutz, that's why the Aruch HaShulchan says, this Taz, impossible, impossible. So that's what the Achronim discuss. What if you're in a place where maybe one or two of the millers do wash the wheat? So then you go back to the old din in Yoredeya of Kol Deparish Meruba Parish versus Kol Kavua Kametzal Mechzadami. I think in the bottom of that tshuva in the Mikat Hashem, he says the farmers in the villages in Hungary, most of them, the vast majority, they don't do washing of the wheat. Maybe there's one guy, yeah, but it's all called the parish. They're all bringing it from the villages, and it's all getting mixed around in different places, so you don't have to worry about it. It's called a parish, Miruba parish, so you just have to worry about the Metzias. So, yes, Me'ikra Din, you could buy flour from the store, but the first thing you have to check is, number one, whether the flour producers are washing the wheat, and number two, if that flour producer is creating the wheat, if you're going to them in Kavua, or it's called the parish, Meruba parish. Lamaisa, we're saying that if you don't have Mishas Ktzira, so you should use Mishas Lisha. What if you don't even have from that? So in the beginning of the Kajigal of his tshuva, Seichet Tzadok Levracha, Hashem Yikom Damos Kusav Eleinu, the Eretz Tzvi, so he has a long tshuva, and he suggests, he thinks that perhaps, even if you don't have matzah shmura, he thinks maybe you get a chatzi mitzvah. You get matzah, but without the shmira. And Rav Avadya quotes in his footnotes, he wonders if this goes back to the original chakira that we had, and he thinks that maybe you should say that it's a svek sveka. Suffek, maybe you don't need it. And suffek, he says, a suggestion, maybe it's not a tanai, maybe it's just an extra mitzvah. We mentioned at the beginning, you can understand this whole din, is it a tanai or is it a mitzvah? So Rav Avadya wonders, maybe even if it's ma'akev, it's only ma'akev as a mitzvah, it's not a tanai. So you can say svek sveka, you can make a bracha. And so too, the Eretz Tzvi, he doesn't call the Eretz Tzvi, but the Eretz Tzvi also thinks that if a person, God forbid, is in a situation where they have no matzah shmura at all, they just have matzah, but not matzah shmura, they can eat it, and he thinks you could still make a bracha, and Rav Avadya also thinks you can make a bracha based on this svek sveka. Rav Avadya quotes others who think not, but he says, if a person wants to make a bracha, ein mochen biyado. I mean, God forbid, a person shouldn't be in such a situation, but if a person, God forbid, were in such a situation, Rav Avadya thinks svek sveka, that you could still make a bracha, alachilas matzah, on matzah that's not mishumar. And he brings a raya from Sfiras Omer. Exactly. He brings a raya from Sfiras Omer about the reciting the bracha, even banish mushrooms.
I think, also the respect
of the, exactly. Yeah.
Rav Shemtai, I think, has to do with Mahalak about that.
About the Svek Sveka.
He thinks it's not Svek Sveka. I guess it's like,
I don't remember. Okay, part two is, now that we know that there is a lechatchila, infuse your matzah for the night of the Seder with Shmirah. Not only that, for the Rambam, you should have Matzah Shmurah the whole week. Right? That's what it sounds like the Magen Mishnah pointed out. And we answered, it actually works out very well. The Magen Mishnah was worried, what about Lishma? The answer is, the Rambam thinks that the whole week you need Matzah Shmurah, even though many of the Achronim I saw, they do not think that this is legit Chumrah, they think that it's a Chumrah Yisera, but there are many Mishpachos, like Rabbi Gross Zecher Tzadok Levracha, and Rabbi Goldstein Zecher Tzadok Levracha, also the Taitzes, or no? The Goldsteins, Rabbi Goldstein Zecher Tzadok Levracha, and Rabbi Taitz Zecher Tzadok Levracha, all of them. No, you don't know?
I don't know about
this. Your mother's side, you're saying.
Sure.
They, the Taitzes and the Grosses, see iconic photograph from the 1950s, after this Chavura, Rabbi Gross and Rabbi Taitz were both machmir to eat Matzah Shmurah the whole week. So there is such a chumrah that people have, but the Achronim say that's a chumrah you say where you want to be machmir for the Shitas Rambam. But anyway, leaving that aside, our Matzah the night of the Seder, we want to say L'Shem Matzah Mitzvah. And we don't want it just to be L'Shem Matzah Mitzvah als the Shmirah from Chimutz, which is one din. We also want to infuse als the other din. So we don't want to let a Chere Shot of a Katan bake it. So now, in the 1800s, we came up with this issue of machine matzahs. Matzahs, makona, matzahs being manufactured by machines. So this is not a chabur to talk about all of the history of this, but this was a very fun shiur before Pesach that we discussed this with the Sunday morning. This is a picture of Tug Morgan Journal, Morty Turov's grandfather, great-grandfather, his grandfather, Zeta Levi. Zeta Levi, who I knew growing up, his father, Rabbi Levi, for some reason, this is in Cincinnati, for some reason, it says his name was Rav Eliyahu Levi. In the article, it says his name is Rav Binyamin Levi, so there was some confusion exactly what his first name was, but Morty straightened that out for me. But anyway, this is a huge tumult baking matzahs with the machine. So what are some of the core issues involved in machine matzahs, which stirred a controversy from some of the greatest gaonim in Europe in the 1800s. We saw the kuntres Moda Rabbah and Bittel Moda, the back and forth between the great gaonim from Eastern Europe, Rav Shlomo Kluger and Rav Yosef Shaul Natanson, regarding these matzahs. So interestingly, the first problem that the Bittel Moda, that the Moda Rabbah, the Rav Shlomo Kluger, the Heiliger Rav Shlomo Kluger put out there, was actually a concern that had nothing to do with chametz. It was a concern about
industry,
the economic effects of technology. That with the innovation of machine-produced matzahs, you would no longer need the manual labor of the workers, and those workers were generally poor, and because of that, you will essentially be gozel esuanim by putting them out of work. So this was the first consideration, he says, is a public policy consideration, that it's going to put people out of work. A second question that came up in many of the tshuvas has to do with cleanliness of the machinery. You're talking about something which people, especially in Eastern Europe, they're saying this came from Ashkenaz, people were not familiar with these mechanisms, and there was a lot of concern that maybe there's going to be chametz mixed in there. If you look at the Tshuvas of the Divrei Chaim, the Halakha Tzanzer, and Chelek Aleph and Siman Chav Gimel, he says, I have to tell you, I know a businessman who is a Socher Nechbad who was recently in Hungary, and he saw Eitzel Kali Adas Otsin Matzos on the machines, Shenir Ve'erashu Chametz Gomor, Vinis Baishu Ma'od V'gamor V'lishar Rav Amatel Mischarit Ma'od. He says, I'm telling you, there are many reasons to Aser them. It's absolutely, totally, completely Aser. And one of the reasons is because it's going to have a chimutz, either because the people who are doing it are unsupervised or because the machinery is not going to be cleaned correctly. It's going to be chametz gomor. Some are concerned about maybe there's going to be a gargar of chita that's going to get mixed in, or maybe the matzah is going to get warm because of the heat of the machinery. So this is one chevel shel inyanim. These are problems with the process of the manufacturing using the machines. Step forward, because the original machines that Rabbi Yosef Shel Natanson is talking about were hand run, right? These are cranks. These are hand operated. If you go forward a little bit, you now introduce the issues of electricity. So the Halak of Maharsham, you saw in the Mar Makomus, the Maharsham, in the piece in that Shuva, and Halak Beis, in Simen Tes Vav, the Maharsham is discussing a machine matzah that's not manufactured through, manual cranks, it's through electric. The Maharsham's Tshuva was to a Rav in St. Louis, where they were trying to figure out how much to allow the local matzah bakery to bake, because the Balabas is hounding the Rav. Last year, he says, Epis, I forget exactly the number of pounds that they made last year, and the Balabas wants to do twice that amount. And he says, well, if I could do twice that amount, I'm going to profit X number of dollars. The problem is that when you make the huge amount, the Shoel asked the Maharsham, he says, well, it's going to take a half hour from the Chometz to go from beginning of the process until the end matzahs. So the bulk of that tshuva in the Maharsham is dealing with whether or not the machinery is considered to be misasik in the dough, that it shouldn't become Chometz for more than a half hour. Lemaisa, the Maharsham, does not allow that process. He does allow the smaller amount, where it's going to take them 15 minutes to go from Gilgul, from the time the water meets the wheat, until you're going to get the big product. It's less than a mil, so you don't have to be choshish that maybe there's not enough isaskas. But the Maharsham is dealing with electric matzah, electric machinery. What is the problem with the electric machinery? So if you look in the tshuvas of the Minchas Yitzchak, he says he's worried in Chelek Beis and Simen Tzadi Vav. He quotes in the Eretz Tzvi from the Helig of Kasha Glover, to koach ha'adam be'elektri eino rak hasaras moneya she'poschin haberez hakran hamachas moneya koach ha'elektri ba'idei she'poseach hakran yotze elektri me'atzmo u'pol pul aso. So hasaras moneya, that's hasaras barza, that's koach sheni. And so you cannot infuse lishma with koach sheni. That's just hasaras moneya. So this is the serious challenge that is on one side of the ledger when it comes to matzahs which are made by machines in electric. So this concern of whether or not you can infuse, and the assumption here in the Minchas Yitzchak that you cannot infuse lishma through the electric appliance, Rav Avadya quotes in the beginning of this tshuva in Chelek Aleph and Simen Yudalid, since you need lishma, so you can't infuse lishma by just pressing a button. So in this context, so he mentions, we mentioned earlier, this idea of stam lishma being controversial. So he quotes the Netziv, who says you can't say stam lishma, you have to have beferish lishma. So he says, how can you have beferish lishma through the automati, nasa ba'ofan automati? And he quotes that from the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, we mentioned, and he quotes from the Imre Eish, and there are other achronim. However, he says, amna matzanu l'kama gedolim, who think that lechitzas hakaftor is affected. So he quotes a bunch of tshuvas, including, he also quotes the Chazon Ish and the Har Tzvi, including a tshuva of Rav Chaim Ozer that I put on Mar Mekomos. It's in Gimel Samach Tes. The Rav Chaim Ozer there was talking about al yedei al dvar achutim shel meshi mei fabrican haba mimakom rachok. I was asked from the Dobravna Rav whether or not that machine is considered lishma for the tzitzis. And he answers, he thinks that yes, that once you press the button on the machine, that constitutes lishma throughout the process. And Rav Avadya quotes a bunch of achronim who agree with this. The assumption in that tshuva that we mentioned earlier from the Maharsham is that the Maharsham assumed that the the crank machine is the same as the electric machine, and that if you can make sure that there's no chashash chimutz on the electric machine, that would be sufficient for lishma. I would add here, and we don't have time barichas for this today, but Rav Shechter has a whole ma'aracha from Rav Soloveitchik that is related to this topic. It is a sugya regarding grama on Shabbos, where Rav Soloveitchik is of the opinion that grama is not a function of time. Rav Soloveitchik is of the opinion that grama depends on whether or not you have what the way Rav Shechter refers to it as a koach acher ma'uruf bo. But the way Rav Shechter explains from the Rav, if you harness a natural force that already exists, that's not grama. So let's say you set up a Rube Goldberg contraption that you're going to throw a ball, and then the ball is going to hit a lever, and then the lever is going to tap a paddle, and the paddle is going to knock down a series of dominoes, and then those dominoes are going to turn on a switch, and that's going to kick something on. So Rav Shechter said from Rav Soloveitchik that that's not called grama. In his opinion, that's not grama. The fact that there's a time delay, that doesn't cause something to be grama. That's just a slow way of doing something. But since you're harnessing the koach acher ma'uruf, and Rav Shechter therefore explains that the Rav said that's why the case of the Bidka D'maya in Sanhedrin is different, because the case in Sanhedrin you need a Maisa Ritzicha. It's still called koach adam, it just doesn't have Maisa Ritzicha. And that's why also Sefer Netilas Yadayim, you need koach gavra. But to be called your Maisa, that can exist even after time elapses. You're just harnessing the... So that too, you could shtel tzu, that same exact nekuda, that the whole electrical process here, that when you press the button, that creates lishma.
Did you say what is grama in one sentence?
Grama is when you have a koach acher ma'uruf bo that is coming and joining into your maisa. Which is why, if I'm not mistaken, the way that they make the Tzomet Grumma mechanism is that something happens, and it's on some kind of interval that it doesn't automatically happen. Randomly, it's going to kick in to happen. But it's not that it's a time delay, that it's a Rube Goldberg. Mirtz Hashem should be Mizakenu. Our hope is, our plan is for our ability, Mirtz Hashem, in a couple of weeks, to actually go to Machon Tzomet. We have arranged a tour to see how they make the Grumma machine. So I'll tell you when I get back exactly how they do it. But we signed up for a tour to take the kids to see how they manufacture these things. But Rav Shechter always quotes from Rav Soloveitchik that just a time delay alone is not enough to be a koach acher ma'uruf bo. It's not grama. Nafkamina is for timers on Shabbos, that playing around with the timer, the Rav did not think that that was an issue of grama. The fact that it's going to kick on later, but you have a mechanism that's going tick, 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 tick. So you're just tapping into an already moving mechanism. He didn't think that was grama. So this is shita, is a kula and a chumra, but it's not for today, but I think it relates to this exact point, that if you assume that lechitzas hakaftor is harnessing the energy and the whole mechanism, so then you have the kiyum of... you have the kiyum. So Rav Avadya puts this as the counterpoint. He then quotes the Eretz Tzvi, which we mentioned earlier, that even if it's not Mishmeres, you can still make a bracha. He says mitzvah min hamuvchar. But this is the major issue of whether or not you can create lishma through the lechitzas hakaftor. So number one was the economic issue of how it relates to the poor people. Number two was the question of checking the machines and figuring out whether or not they're clean or they're not clean, whether it's going to create more chametz, whether it's going to create less chametz. A third issue that Rav Shlomo Kluger brings up has to do with the shape. So some achronim don't want to change the shape of the matzah from a circle to a square. And Rav Shlomo Kluger, we saw, was concerned in the opposite direction, that if you make the machine matzahs in a circle, which no one does today, but apparently when they started the original machine matzahs, they made them with a form in which they punch the dough. So he says that's like the Sriki Baitus problem. That's making it into a shape. So whatever you're going to say, if you make the matzah square, you're going to have achronim poskim, especially chassidish poskim, more upset that it's square because it's not following the minhag Yisrael to have it round. But if you try to make the machine matzahs round, you're going to run into the problem that Rav Shlomo Kluger had, that he thinks it's a violation of Srike Baitas. The problem is that there are other arguments. And we saw that the Ksav Sofer in the back of his shuvas in the Hosafos, the Ksav Sofer was worried about the opposite concern, which is what happens when you have unscrupulous workers. So some would argue that you're better off using machine matzah than using hand matzah, right? In Chassidish communities, like this Shuvah Avni Nezer that you saw, hopefully, that the Balabatim fired the rabbi because he was opposed to machine matzahs. So the Chassam, so the Avni Nezer writes this Shuvah where he's like, it's absolutely outrageous. How could they fire him? Of course, he's totally absolutely correct that you shouldn't be using anything other than the traditional hand matzahs. But the Ksav Sofer says, Lamaisa, if you have people who are unscrupulous, that they are not going to be careful, so then you have a problem. There is a Maisa Shahaya, that I'll tell you two Maisa Shahayas, with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Apparently, I heard a Maisa Shahaya that, you know, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was very makbid only to use machine matzah. So one time, apparently, one of his children, I think maybe Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, was learning in Eretz Yisrael, so Rav Aaron, I don't know why, he wanted to send a box of machine matzah to Israel for his son for Pesach. You know, I think Rav Aaron was the founding mashgiach of the Streitz matzah factory, Streitz, I think it was. Anyway, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was very involved in Yashon and I think in the Streitz matzah factory. So I'm assuming it was Streitz who wanted to send him a box of matzahs. So he gave it to a Chassidish guy to take for him, and then on Erev Pesach, the guy called him, and he says, I'm so sorry, I can't take the box because my flight got delayed and I don't want to hold on to your machine matzahs after Chatzos. But apparently, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik also, I heard of Isa, that he went to make matzahs.
Because he held his chametz.
The chassid said, I'm not holding on to your chametz. What are you, crazy? But the opposite is that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik once went to one of these hand matzah bakeries and he walked out and he said, I got the only two matzahs that were kosher lePesach in the whole bakery. So there are different people who have different strong feelings about this. So at the family seder of my in-laws, so I have one brother-in-law who only uses machine matzah. And it's not because of necessarily the concern like the Ksav Sofer had that the people are going to be unscrupulous, but many would argue that your ability to create consistency and uniformity and avoid human error means with the modern day machines that you're better off using machine matzah. You know, the old concerns that maybe they didn't clean them properly and that maybe there's a little bit stuck here or stuck there, lemaisa, those concerns exist in any particular circumstance, right? And even a hand baking matzah, so they try to clean off the rolling pins and like all the things. But lemaisa, it's not perfect. People make mistakes, so maybe you could argue that bisman hazeh, based on this idea that the machine matzahs, you know, they have greater accuracy. You could argue, so maybe you should dafka use the machine matzahs. So this is an old argument. It was funny because when I was preparing this, I came across a letter that Rav Kook wrote to Rav Tzvi Yehuda in the Igros, where he writes to him about the challenges, the things that are going on. You know, Rav Kook was stuck in Chutz La'aretz, and I'm dealing with all kinds of things, different stuff that's going on, and I just hope, Baruch Hashem, I hope you'll get this news, Kvar Huvu Habaisa Hamatzas Hashmura Ba'adi, I got the Shmura Matzas here, Ubishvil Habayis Akavash Yavo Mimatzos of Shal Manashevitz. I hope that Manashevitz will send their matzahs. Yizakir Hashem Yisbarach LeKaimis Kol Mitzvahs Habol Inotov V'Chaga Matzos B'Simchas Lev, etc. He writes this letter as a Nisan. So he's saying, Rav Kook is saying, I'm mahadr to use the Manashevitz matzahs. What's the bottom line? Rav Avadya writes in the Tshuva, Mitzvah Menambucha, according to Rav Avadya, L'Ishtadal L'Hasig Matzah Shmura Shal Avodas Yad Shanasus B'di Odom Yirei Shemaim Habikim Bahalacha Lotse Yisidei Chovas Matzah Belayla Rishon L'Chol Adeos Ulam B'yesser Yemei HaChag Gam Misha Ochel Matzah Shmura Rashai L'Hoka Lechol Matzah Mechona Akshir L'Pesach. So the bottom line is that L'Chatzchila it's better to use Avodas Yad according to Rav Avadya, so that you avoid this question about, number one, is there any chametz that's got mixed in there because then it's not clean? You stick to the minhag like the Chassidish Rebbes wanted you to do. You don't have to worry about taking away people's parnasa. You don't have to worry that maybe the machines got warmed up and that they were dirty. And you don't have to get involved in this machlokas achronim about infusing lishma, which is our main topic, through electricity. But Meikar Adin, he says, Meikar Adin, we are Meikal. And I think that's the the common accepted practice is that l'chatchila we should get shmira, and that the shmira we should be bishas ktsira. But b'dieved, even if it's bishas lisha, and even if it's from a matzis machona, it is acceptable.